Good morning, and thank you for standing by. All lines will be in listen-only until the question-and-answer portion of the call. At that time, to ask a question, to press star, then one, and please be sure to record your first and last name. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Mr. Hunter, you may begin.
Well, thank you, operator, and thank you, Tivoli sales folks and business partners, for joining the call this morning. This is a topical discussion that we feel many representatives as well as business partners are going to run into during the fourth quarter and into the third quarter of 2010. And that is, when they go to work with their customers on upgrading additional licenses of NetCool, they're going to see that the customer has some old part numbers potentially in their proof of entitlement. And the question is going to come up, well, what do these old part numbers migrate to? And the reason for the Tivoli talk this morning is to first explain what those old part numbers would migrate to, and then make you aware of a very important sales tool that John Philip has put together that will actually migrate those parts for you, so you don't have to do anything but load the parts and the quantities into the tool, and it will automatically migrate it. So on the call this morning, I actually have John Philip, who is the market manager for the NetCool and SAPM solutions. John has been instrumental with NetCool pricing from back in the Micromuse days, and is still the architect of many of the pricing decisions and definitions, and has been fantastic to work with over the last year as we help our customers move to the new scenario. So hopefully everybody has the document. I'm on slide one right now, just moving to slide two. What I have is the agenda, what changed, and we're going to recap that. We're going to look at how to determine what licenses your customer is now entitled to, and this involves John's migration tool. We're going to tell you about a few of the contacts you can utilize, and then also some question and answer. I'm going to leave the question and answer till the end so that we are able to get through the presentation and then answer everybody's question, and everybody has the same information to work off of. If you do not have a copy of the presentation, I'm going to be explaining each page pretty thoroughly, so you can, you know, get it from me after the presentation if you'd like. So on to slide three. We're going to talk about what has changed, and again, that change took place in October 27th, 2009. What we did is we simplified the number of tiers that would be necessary to entitle a NetCool customer. So before, you know, there was multiple tiers based on the technology that would be managed, and we simplified that quite extensively. As well, we simplified the explanation of the tiers. There was a lot of confusion within the selling public about, do I need to license per probe? Do I need to license per virtual server, per core? And we've greatly simplified in regards to that. common value unit table. So there used to be three different tables for figuring the number of RVUs that would be necessary to cover an environment. We've moved that down to just one RVU table, which makes it much easier for calculating the value units required to cover a managed environment. And then one very significant change is that there is no longer user licensing, and the user licensing of the NetCool suite had to do with the WebTop concurrent or authorized or limited use licensing. So the technology of WebTop has been rolled into the Omnibus base. So a customer is entitled to a base install of WebTop for every base install of Omnibus they own, and then they are entitled to have as many concurrent or limited uses of viewing that web GUI as they want. So there is no more restriction on the number of people that can view the web GUI for Omnibus. It's just part of the Omnibus-based entitlement. Moving on to slide 4, and here is just, again, a recap. This is directly out of the announcement letter for the Omnibus and the Omnibus and ITNM Network Manager Bundle. And these are the definitions. And I think it's important to understand these at the base level. It makes sizing an opportunity so much easier. Event device or network device tier. So you can read this, but the thing to remember about entitling event device tier is that we would need device entitlement for every device that will be managed by Omnibus or the Omnibus and ITNM bundle. So if it's 1,000 devices, you would need RVUs enough to cover 1,000 devices in that managed environment. If it's a virtual server, that does not matter. We only cover or only require entitlement for physical devices. So there's no longer a requirement to entitle each CPU or each core of a server that is being managed by IBM Tivoli Monitoring. We only require device entitlement for the device or the server that has ITM on it. The same is true of the network device tier. So for each network device that's in the environment, we would require a network device tier when we're talking about the Omnibus and ITNM bundle, or if any network device in the environment needs to be managed with Omnibus for event management, then of course the event device tier would apply. Basic device tier is a new part number that's been added to this offering, and this is to help out with the Smarter Planet initiative, as well as get us into some new markets with a lower cost per device pricing for your basic or your simple devices that you would find in the environment. For defining what would make a simple device versus what would require event device pricing, keep in mind the intelligence of the device that we're trying to monitor. If the device is not doing any computing power at the actual in node, then it more than likely would become a simple device. We're trying just to make sure the device is there. If the device sends out a general simple event or an alert, and we can monitor that. Some examples have been, telephone card dispensers at convenience stores. Simple relays on, equipment that would manage power sources. So the power source that would control the backup generator for a specific piece of device, making sure that is up or down, that would be an example of a simple device. A printer would be a simple device. A VoIP telephone would be a simple device. Okay, now we get into, there is basic device pricing for ITNM, and there's also basic device pricing for Omnibus. And when you're entitling the bundle, of course, you would utilize the entry tier for the first 1,000 devices. But if it's a basic device, you do not use the entry tier for that. You would start out right with either a basic event device or basic network device. Now, on to event element management system tier. The simple definition of an element management system is a device that manages other devices. So that's a simple, way to understand whether or not your customer would require element management system entitlement. another example of a device that would require element management system entitlement would be the mainframe in your customer's environment. For every 400 MSUs on that mainframe, you would require one element management system. And then further reading down the definition, IBM Tivoli monitoring only for the forwarding of situation events relating to performance data. So you can use element system management entitlement for an IT&M environment. So let's say there's 1,000 ITM managed servers. You can utilize one element management system for the TIMS, or the Tivoli Enterprise Management Server, and collect those situations and forward them on to Omnibus with the element management system entitlement. Okay, moving on to slide 5, just a quick example of what was the old tiers and what those have migrated to. So we see tiers 1 and 2 have basically migrated into event device tier, and tiers 3, 4, and 5 have basically migrated into event EMS tiers. Now for FCT, or flexible contract type, it would be 1, 2, 3, 4 have migrated into event device, and then 5, 6, and 7 have migrated into event EMS device. On to slide 6, the other part that has changed, and this is important to understand, that Omnibus has changed and the Omnibus and Network Manager bundle has changed. At this point, IBM Tivoli Network Manager for IP has not changed at all. That standalone product, no parts have changed within that product at all. But for Omnibus and Network Manager bundle, there has also been the tier reduction that maps directly to what was done with Omnibus itself, except for the entry tier that is to be used for the first 1,000 devices in an environment, whether that's a network device, a router hub switch, or a server itself, you would use the entry tier for those first 1,000 devices. On to slide 7. Here we have a quick explanation of the RVU calculations and the value unit tiers. As before, there was 3 different tables for doing this. Now there's just one table. So for the first 1 to 100, it's a 1 to 1 ratio. And for the next 101 to 250, it's a 0.9, and then on down the line. And of course, you know, the most accurate way and the most simple way to figure the number of RVUs required for a managed environment would be to use the RVU calculator table. And all of you can access that at the same spot that you can access John's tool that we'll talk about next, as well as many of the presentations, this one included. And that's at the media page that's sourced at the end of this presentation and the beginning. So on to slide 8, this just quickly goes through the old pricing versus the new pricing. I'm not going to read through this, but you do see a delta in several areas. The idea was to make these changes revenue neutral to a customer. So you see reductions and elimination of part numbers, but you also see an increase in some of the part numbers. But if you look at the overall spend per year for a customer that's using NetCool, we would try to make it as revenue neutral as possible with that customer by the increase of some of the parts and the price, as well as the decrease of some of the parts and the price. So revenue neutral was the goal after we did test of several of the customers. A lot of questions that we have gotten to date have been, I see that my tier 3 has went up significantly, and the maintenance to support that tier 3 has went up significantly. My customer is going to have a problem with this. it is very important to look at all of the costs associated with net cool for that customer. So also take into consideration the reduction of the base install, the elimination of the web top and the web top concurrent users, and then share with the customer what their overall spend of the net cool products is. Slide 9, we just give a customer example. And then slide 10, we just give another customer example for your learning. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to John, unless, John, you have anything to add on those first few pages that I went through.
No, I think you were fairly clear, George, and we'll pick up anything under questions that come
okay.
up from that.
Sound good. So with that, I'll turn it over to John, slide 11.
So in terms of taking this forward, going forward, we have slides that build, so do make sure that you're in full screen mode. What we're looking at now is how we migrate existing customers' entitlements from where they are to where they need to go. It's worth noting that all Passport Advantage customers have already had their entitlement auto-migrated, unless they purchased between the auto-migration time and the end of marketing of the old omnibus parts. There may be a few that still require to be migrated again. On slide 12, when you're looking at your existing and customer entitlements, the real key here is that customers need to know what they're entitled to. The important thing is that although the quantities may change between the old their old parts and the new parts, they are entitled to the same number of devices as they were before. It doesn't change. Customers sometimes get concerned when they see a number that's changed, but you can show the customers that you're actually getting back to the original number that they were at before. You can show them by manually working through the migration or making use of a migration tool to show customers what they're entitled to now. From a step-by-step point of view, there's really only two things that you need to enter, and we'll go into this in a bit more detail in the next slide. You need the old part numbers, that, and it works both for the flexible contact terms part and also for the PPA part. You need to enter the quantity, and I'll say a little bit more about that in the next slide. Press the button to make it do the calculation, and then you can see the new configuration on the second tab. It's as easy as that. We go on to the next slide. We can see here the migration tool. Migration tool has three columns. In general, you will be using columns 1 and 3. The migration tool will work for both your license and first-year maintenance parts, the D parts. It will also work for maintenance for the S&S parts, the E parts. You put in column 1, the parts that you wish to migrate. You put in column 3 the RVU quantity. This is the quantity that you put in if you were working with a PPA number. Column 2, the raw quantity, is primarily intended for use with SCT parts, where there was no RVU calculation prior to the latest release of Omnibus. If in doubt, put the number into the RVU quantity column at column 3. The tool will recognize it if it's not an RVU quantity and will not do a back migration. Clicking on 1 shows you that the old part numbers go in column 1. Click on again, you can see where you put your old quantities. And finally, clicking on once more, you press the Generate New Part button. This will carry out the calculation for you. And moving on one slide, it will show you the result tab. The result tab here is showing list price at BL, so it's PPA pricing in this case. If you're providing the migration tool to the customer, we would like you, insist that you use the migration tool that doesn't include pricing. What you can see here in this particular slide is a list of all parts that were part of the input. You can see the RVU quantity in column 11, which shows the entered number. And in column 10, that takes you back to the original raw count or raw number that has been entered in to get your RVUs in the first place. The total gives you the extended price across the whole bill of materials. The next slide shows the result on the output page. You can see here we have a smaller number of parts. That's the result of the simplification that George went through and the removal of the user parts. You can see in here the various quantities, the numbers, and if we look particularly at the third line down where you see the quantity of 2441, which is a quantity from your previous page, and the new RVU quantity of 1267, which is different from the previous quantity of 1315. This then shows you the total extended price at the end, which you as a salesman can compare to talk to your customer about what savings or increased cost to the customer the migration implies. Finally, on the next page, you have a number of contacts with George Hunter and myself. Also, Shridevi Nagogi, who is the Tivoli pricer, and Don Wildman, who is the Omnibus product manager. As George alluded to earlier, there's a link here to the media page, which has the presentations, frequently asked questions, and the migration tool available. So that takes us to the end of the presentation for today. If the operator could open up the line for any questions, please.
Once again, to ask a question, to press star, then one. One moment.
You know, John, while we're waiting on questions, I did want to point out something that comes up quite often with customers is that they will have made several purchases of, let's say, Tier 1 resource value units over the past couple of years in blocks of 100, 200, 300, whatever it would be. The migration tool, as well as the PPA formulas that are used by Avery Bingston and the rest of his team will migrate that customer line by line over with a total number of devices that are managed will be the same in the new pricing as was in the old pricing. So your customer will never lose any more capability than what they have, and they will never be out of compliant immediately once they make this change. So there was a lot of work done to make sure that no customer would be out of compliance, of course, by this change in pricing and definitions.
Thanks for that, George. That's quite correct, yes.
That's just a question that I get a lot of time from folks.
Michael Troitz, you may ask your question.
Yeah, hi, it's Michael Troitz from DECOS in Germany. I'm actually a business partner, so first question is, can we as a business partner also have access to these tools? The links provided are IBM internal links. Hello?
You know, let me make sure that we can send those to you, and I will... can you send me a note at grhunter@us.ibm.com?
Certainly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I will make sure. I don't see why not, but I'll make sure, and I'll send it to you if there's no difficulty in doing that.
Okay, fine. So a second question is about the numbering scheme with the value units. You've suggested in the call to show the migration tool to the customer, but that really is not legally binding. We've had issues with customers already who, in their proof of entitlement document, they see the low number, the kind of reduced number of properties, and have no legally binding document that makes clear to them how many devices they are really entitled to use.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any plans to change the POE documents to really reflect the number of devices they are entitled to use?
Good question, and that comes up quite often with our customers. I've worked with the support folks to, you know, create an extra column in the POE document that would map to the number of devices that are required. It hasn't come up that often, but by just adding a column to that and then showing that to the customer, it seems to satisfy the situation. And the proof of entitlement or the subscription folks will record that document as well and have a record of that being the number of devices that are being managed or the customer is entitled to at that point in time.
Okay, we have that.
So we've done that with a couple different customers, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth saying, though, George, that the announcement letters make it very clear what the calculation is and how you work from the number of devices you're entitled to, the number of RVUs, and obviously how you can get back from that. So there is a legal document. Also, we're saying that the license actually includes the RVU calculation. So the license, which is the legally binding document, actually includes the RVU calculation. So there are documents there that are applicable that are the legal documents. So, yes, you are covered on that.
Okay. Yeah, that's true, that the license really covers that. It's at a very different point in the document, so it needs explication. But okay, with that would do. But obviously, having a second column in the proof of entitlement document would be very helpful in explaining the situation to the customer. Okay, if you allow a third question, that's about the new EMS tier. I appreciate that, in general, for customers, the overall difference in price is not that big, but we have had significant issues with the pricing of the EMS tier probe over here in Germany with customers, specifically in situations where the EMS is an open-source EMS, like Nagios or something like that, which is at almost zero license cost, and then you come in and to integrate a small number of devices behind the Nagios, you have to quote $58,000 for the probe. It has been discussed often, I think, but I haven't seen any steps forward here apart from issue in SBO, obviously. Are there any plans to introduce some kind of small EMS probe also at a more reasonable price for a small management systems?
So let me take one thing first. Please stop calling it probe.
Okay, I'm one of the old net coolers. I'm doing net coolers.
I knew you are. not getting at you personally. I keep going on about it. And to be honest, it's one of the things that does sometimes cause issues with a customer because it confuses them in terms of what we're now talking about and what we're talking about. The short answer is no. There are no plans on the table at this stage to make any changes to omnibus pricing in the near future. Pricing changes can only be made at particular points. So there is no intent at this stage. I have heard what you said before on a number of occasions. It seems to be particularly prevalent, as you say, in Germany and other areas around there. What I would say at the moment is that the approach to take is to special bid it, and if it's proving to be a real problem in a particular area, get myself or George involved, and we can help work through it.
Okay. Thanks for the answer.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, well, I think that just leaves us, George, to say thank you to people for attending, and remember you've got the contacts in the presentation if you need to, if you've got any particular questions you want to pass on to either myself or George. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This concludes your conference call. You may now disconnect. Thank you.